Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about imposter syndrome and how that may be affecting your relationships. Topics include why we feel we're imposters when it comes to work, love, and friendship, when really it's just anxiety. Is there a magic sex number? So you're dating someone new and they have a touch of performance anxiety. How can you get them past it? And you're curious about open relationships. How do you bring it up to a partner? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our site. There's a lot of posts on there, blogs to help you have better sex. And then we're Sex with Emily across the board on all social media. All right, intentions with Emily. For each show, please join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. And what I mean is, like, right now, when you're listening, what attracted to you the show? What? Why do you want to listen to it? Think about what you want to get out of this particular episode and how it could help you. Maybe it's like, wow, I've always felt like this and I didn't know that there was a name for it. Or I'm curious about imposter syndrome. Maybe my partner is experiencing this. My intention is to give you a little peace of mind that you're not alone in your strive to feel perfect. I've suffered from imposter syndrome. I still do. And I want to tell you a bit about my story so it can help you deal with your own challenges. Enjoy the show. I was gone. I went back to the Bay Area. You know, I was in San Francisco for a long time, 25 years. And I was invited to speak at this women's conference, a group called The What. And it's a group of really interesting, accomplished women who started a group essentially for women helping other women. So like they have a really active Facebook group where you can kind of post like, I need help with, you know, kids or travel or work. And it's just like a collective of women that were supporting other women's businesses. And it's become like this huge online thing. And now they have a website and they had a conference. So they invited me to speak about sex. And they invited me to speak about cooking. And it was super awkward. No, I'm kidding.
Like, of course, like, wait, what? Emily spoke like, for an hour on cooking eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
I was her like, specialty. Wait a second.
As they look at me, I'm like, someone's like, what'd you speak on? I'm like, horticulture, a friend of mine asked. Like, what do you think I talked about? Jesus, your plants will die, but not your love life. So I went there, and it was, first of all, it was at Skywalker Ranch, which is where all the magic happened if you're into Star Wars and George Lucas, anything.
I was so jealous. It's so awesome.
So we get there and it's the most beautiful place. You really, it's not open to the public. You have to go through like six security guards. And apparently they only allow like
two groups there a month. And so we got to stay overnight, and there's about 150 women. And so I was to give a speech the next day, and my speech is about prioritizing your pleasure. So throughout the day, I'm the sex speaker, but there was women there. There was probably about 10, 15 speakers. Another, you know, about people talking about hormones and people talking about business stuff and like tapping, which is like a type of therapy, tapping. There was a but I didn't make it to the other things. I was, you know, prepping my speech, and I was working on it. And it's funny because I was just actually ran into a bunch of friends because I lived there. So it was all my peers. But as I'm working the speech, mostly the night before and then a little that day, I got to be honest with you that even though I've been doing this for almost 15 years, I'm a doctor of human sexuality, and I've helped millions of people have better sex and relationships. I was nervous. I thought, of all the places I speak, like now I'm talking, I don't know who's listening. I mean, I know a lot of you are listening, but I don't know you. But when you go somewhere to speak, I'm like, well, what if they already know this stuff? What if they know? What if they prioritize their pleasure? What if they masturbate all the time? What if they are having amazing sex with their partner and they don't need my help? Or what if they already have their communication skills are on point? And I started thinking, you know, they knew me back in the day in San Francisco. Maybe they're one. You know what I mean? Then I realized it reminded me of something. I know something called imposter syndrome. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but I remember my mom telling me about it because I used to have this. I'm trying to think. I was like in my 20s the first time I brought it up. But essentially, here's what imposter syndrome is. It's this feeling essentially that you're a fraud. And they say there was a study that showed like the top 5% of all CEOs and entrepreneurs and companies had a fear that one day someone's going to knock on their door and be like, sorry, Mr. Jones, when the study was done, this isn't your job. You're supposed to be in the mailroom or something like this fear that like no matter how much we prove ourselves and how well we do in life, we're still kind of like fraud. I mean, it's also tied to self-esteem and insecurities and all those things. And so, and then it came up because I was talking to another one of the women there who she also was an entrepreneur and ran a business. And she had, it was a friend of mine that I had seen in a while, and she gotten a really bad call. It was right after my speech, actually. And she was like, talked to her that night, and she said she felt like she was always feeling, and she's got this multi-million dollar business. She's super successful. And she was like, I feel like every day, the company's going to go under. Like something's going to happen. It's a food company. Someone's going to eat a bad piece of food. And like this fear that she doesn't know or that someone else is going to take over. So I just thought it's just a really interesting to think about how we all have this, if this resonates with you. So essentially it's imposter syndrome and it's a condition. It's in the DSM-3R. There's TED Talks on it because I went down a rabbit hole. How do I explain it? It's an internal experience believing you're not competent as others perceive you. And it's usually applied to intelligence and achievement. It also links to people who are perfectionists and people who think they have to do it all. Super women. So it's actually in the DSM-3, the Diagnosis Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder. So like it's a thing. So it's not like I'm always every day going, I hope people call it, you know, they don't think I'm not really a doctor or whatever. So it's like, but it comes up in places too, tied like loosely to like social anxiety and stuff. So I was thinking about how it relates, you guys would feel about it. Do you know, like,
oh, I feel like I have. Yes. I didn't know there was a name or a term. Yeah,
right?
But I feel like I definitely have that in like the sense that I do. Like, I just feel like I always am striving to do as much as I possibly can. And even when I do that, like, is it really enough? What could I have done more of? Like, how is this even my job? Like, why is it me doing this? Like, yeah. I think that all the time. Or if I'm not good at something right away, because I normally am, I'm like, why am I not good at that? Like, right. I feel like it's already a failure because I didn't get it right, like right away.
Right. Exactly. Because you, a lot of things have come easy to you. Exactly. In your life. And then if it doesn't, you're like, I'm bad. I'm wrong.
Exactly.
You know? And so I feel like that, but this is also, I think, the human condition that we all are really, we have this negative self-talk or we have self-doubt, self-esteem challenges. And I think that is the human condition. I mean, if you know anything about the Buddha, he would say that we all suffer in some way. And the universal law of suffering is that we all have these monkey minds and we all have this, like, and we believe it's ourself. But if you really think about it, it's like, it is our own voice in our head talking to us. So once you realize that voice saying, you're not good enough, she's going to leave you, your penis isn't big enough, you're not a great enough lover, I think she still loves her ex. What all those things running through your head are the human condition. I think our lesson on this planet, one of the life lessons we have to learn is how to overcome this kind of mind conditioning and realize that you guys get to control your mind, which is why we see such a, why we see the spread of, you know, the popularity of meditation and breathing apps and yoga. Sense. It's all about self-care. So all this self-care, breathing, mind stuff is because, you know, humans, like we're the first mammals, like the way we evolved to actually have a brain that's allowing us to think these thoughts. We can have positive, negative thoughts. And so since we were, you know, our ancestors, we had to worry about like fight or flight, catching food. We're always, you know, are we going to have enough food for our family? Are we going to get eaten by this wild boar? That our brains sort of go into fight or flight and we're constantly scanning the environment for danger and thinking like, what could happen? What could happen? So, you know, this is just another version of that. What could happen is I could give a speech and be judged and I'll be outcast by people, or we're worried our partner's going to reject us. So I think...
Do you think that's why? Because like I noticed with a lot of people that email in and call in that like there's one person that's always trying to do all of it. Like do all of the fixing in the bedroom and all the fixing.
Absolutely.
In the... Do you like think that's the... like because that they're suffering from that maybe?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that what happens in relationships, yeah, we don't want to talk about... And I hear this from women a lot, that we think that we have to fix everything. And if there's something wrong in the bedroom, it's our fault. We're not sexy enough. We're not making enough an effort. Our partner's not attracted to us anymore. We are responsible for the mental health, the physical health, the sexual health of the relationships. And I feel like that is something that, and men too, we all feel that one of us, typically what I see is there's one person in a relationship who wants to improve, who kind of is getting into self-help or therapy, or they're realizing that like, hey, there's a problem here and we can work it out. And a lot of times there's one person who just isn't evolved in that way. They don't have the emotional intelligence yet or interested in self-improvement, self-reflection, and actually communicating about what's really going on. Because I think if couples realize that it's not one person's fault, you're both in the relationship, you're 50% of the problem. That we all, like, I believe that a lot of relationships could be saved if we learned how to talk about all of these things and not just take it on ourselves. I think what is stopping people from even thinking about sex or talking about sex is because they feel that if they bring it up, that their partner's going to tell them something horrible they've been doing, or their partner's going to judge them for asking. So we just shut down. We don't want to be found out as a fraud, as someone who's not doing well, who's failing, flunking sex. And we're like, this conversation is easier just to repress because it's so deeply, it's so taboo. It's so, we don't have practice talking about sex. We can bring up the dishes and the laundry and money, but with sex, it's like, it's so deeply tied to our self-worth. So that's what's happening.
Wow. Sorry, that's just deep. Like, yeah, that's deep.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get on to your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All right, we're going to talk to Jessica in Texas. Hey, Jessica, 31. What's going on?
Hi.
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 Hello.
My question is, okay, so in a nutshell, my husband, we've been married 2 years. We've been, you know, together about 10 years. And I just want to know, because I seem to, like, count how many times we have sex a week. What's the normal for a couple?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. There's not like a normal number. Each couple, you know, you guys get to decide what works, but it sounds like it's not working for you right now. Like, how many times, how often are you having sex? Tell me how, you tell me your number, and then I'll tell you about my number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, really? It's really just once a week.
Oh, okay. All right. And you would like to have it more times a week?
I would. And it's not, I'm not blaming just him. I mean, I do get tired too, but
right.
I feel like it's an unhealthy number, you know, for people that don't have kids yet.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I got to tell you, Jessica, people are always like, how many times is normal? Like, I get asked that question. It's one of the top five questions I get asked all the time is like, how many often should we be having sex? What's your number? And I have to say that I don't like people always kind of measure up. Like, I hate saying a number. But what I've found is with couples who've been together, you know, for a while, like, I'd say over 2 years, 3 years, like, typically it is. I think healthy feels like too many couples I hear from is once a week. Now, I know that what happens, though, is oftentimes, many times, there's one partner that wants more than the other. And that's right. When we got to compromise, set the alarm earlier in the morning, schedule sex, have a date night, you know, get creative, maybe mutual masturbation where you're both getting off, morning sex. There's ways to work around it. So I'm not going to, so it doesn't sound like any, like if you're both happy with it right now, there's actually not a problem, Jessica.
Right.
Hmm. Does that, yeah. Okay. I mean, have you talked to your husband about it?
Yeah, I have. And I mean, I guess we both agree. We're like, oh, we should be having more sex. And then we just don't do nothing about it. So, I mean, I'm just curious. What's the norm? Like, I guess there is no number.
There is no number. But if you feel like, listen, I believe that sex begets sex. And so maybe if you're craving intimacy with your partner, which sounds like maybe there's some kind of, maybe you want more hand-holding from him. Maybe you want some more massage or touching. Like there's other ways to be intimate that's not sex. So maybe, right. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of reading. Maybe there's something more you want, like connection without all the work with sex. And so maybe that's something you talk about with him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Jessica?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, well, think about it. I'm here every night. See, this is the good news, guys. We can just talk for a few minutes. Call me back tomorrow. It's like my mom. Mom, we don't have to cover everything today. You can call me back tomorrow for 2 minutes, you know? I got it, Jessica. I'm here for you. I'll be here tomorrow. Thanks for calling, Jessica. Like, right, and I don't like goodbyes anyway. Okay, I want to talk to Fernando, 49 in Nevada, because he's got an update. Hey, Fernando.
Yeah, how are we doing, ladies?
Good. How you doing?
Good, not too bad. I had called maybe about a month, month and a half ago about getting a circumcision done.
Right. You were having pain.
I didn't do it because I had no pain. It was just the skin wouldn't pull back no more.
Right, right. Okay.
And I had to do a lot with diabetes. So I didn't get that done. Instead, like you guys have said, I'm going to wait for a second and third opinion coming here towards November and in January.
Okay.
But so I got that taken care of. But my second question towards that was, because I also have, you know, ED, how do I go by, because now that I'm, you know, dating again or whatnot, and if I start to go a little further with the woman and, you know, you can't get, you know, an erection, what is the best way to tell a woman that you can't get to that point without, you know, making it seem uncomfortable or...
Well, I think that you just... You know, so what happens? Are you not able to get hard or you can't stay hard?
Right, because it's getting better, but, you know, through the doctors, but I'm still a ways. I'm eating better, doing different things.
Oh, that's good. So I'm glad you're eating better. I think you're just honest. You're like, you know what? Sometimes I don't always stay hard, but I'm here to please you. And I want to make you I want to make you feel good. And sometimes you'd be amazed that it comes back, because a lot of times it's, I believe that you're having some, you know, erectile dysfunction. It happens to men as they get older. For many times, that's why it happens. It can also happen for anxiety.
Right.
But for example, if you're focused on her pleasure, like our last caller, earlier caller, he was like, yeah, my penis isn't working, so I'm going down to my wife, and now she's having crazy orgasms. So I think that women are way more forgiving about their penises than guys are about your penis than men are about their own penises. Like, we get it. We've seen it all. We've been there. What?
When is the best time to tell a woman about that? Because I've done it before. We're kind of, you know, on the first stages of going out, and then I don't see them again sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Or I have done it also, to, you know, during that stage, and they're like, okay, it's like a challenge for them.
Oh, you know, well, I think you just got to say,
you know,
I think it's good in the moment, because listen, okay, so I've encountered some flaccid penises that didn't stay as hard as they'd like in my day, and it's just like, we get it. Like, I feel like I'm like, it just happens. Like, oh yeah, that happens sometimes, but I think you're so hot, let's just keep going, or I'm pleasing you. Like, I just know not to trip on it, and I think if you just let them know, it's not about them in the moment, you're casual about it, and you're just like, let me please you, you know, this happens sometimes, it's not you, I'm, you know, going through stuff. Sometimes it doesn't always stay hard. Nothing to do with you. I think you're so hot. And give them compliments and make them feel good and play with them. And that's what to do, Fernando. But I don't think you got to bring it up at dinner. Unless you're like with someone a few times. Right. Like, unless, like, if you haven't slept with them yet, is what I'm saying. I don't know that you got to bring it up at dinner. Like, typically I want people to have conversations at dinner. But like, in the moment, I think these are the kind of things that you're like, oh yeah, sometimes. Because you don't know, Fernando. Maybe your penis will surprise you and just like show up fully. Like, we don't know. Well, Fernando, you never know.
Right.
So I would just be casual in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. Okay, Fernando, let me know how it goes. I'm here for you. Let me know about that second and third opinion. We can talk to Maddie, 28 in Utah. Hey, Maddie, what's your question?
Okay, so I have been dating this guy, and every time we try to have sex, he has anxiety with performing and loses his erection. But then not only does he just, like, want to blow off sex altogether, but, like, I'm in the moment, I'm heated, and then he leaves me hanging. And I've tried talking to him about it, and he just wants to, like, put it on the back burner.
Yeah. How long have you been with him?
Like, a year.
Okay. Yeah, he just doesn't, I mean, it sounds like he doesn't really have that understanding yet that sex is reciprocal. And he probably doesn't really understand female pleasure and why that's important. You know what I mean? So that's what it sounds like to me, unless he's just like, and he's also probably really, really embarrassed, right? Like, that he's not.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, he can get hard, but then, like, his kissing, that's the problem. Like, he's such a good kisser, but, like, when it comes to the sex, he'll stay hard just for a few minutes, and then it's like he gets in his head about, like, ejaculating, and he just can't. And then it kills it, and then he, like, shuts off.
Good at the beginning? Like, it's been a year. How was it in the beginning? Because a year is kind of still the beginning.
It's been like this.
Since the
it's
first time?
It's been like this. Yeah.
Okay, so Maddie, here's the thing. 28 years old. This has been happening to him his entire life. This is something that he's going to, it's anxiety. Here's the good news about a lot of the challenges men have around their penis is that a lot of it is in their head. He's a healthy 28-year-old. He was probably prematurely ejaculated. Now he's turned it into erectile dysfunction. You said he gets soft again, or he can't stay hard, or which, right. So
it will get hard and then it gets soft real fast.
So yeah, he's almost like, I mean, it's almost like, I'm trying to think of what it, like, he's been a premature ejaculator, but he's so terrified of that that he's now made it erectile dysfunction. He's turned his, is what I'm thinking, but I feel like he's got to deal with his anxiety, and for a lot of people, CBD has been helpful. He sounds like, you know, encouraging him, like letting him know that it's okay, you know, going down on him again, even when he's soft, and like, maybe he could get hard again. That happens. Letting him know.
He actually just gets mad. Like, we haven't had sex. We probably had sex like maybe 3 times, and it's killing me.
Three times in a year?
Sexual
Maddie,
individual.
Maddie, you're 28 years old. You've had sex 3 times in a year, and every time you've not have been satisfied and he hasn't stayed hard. You could work with this guy, but it's going to take a lot of work. He's going to have to do his work on his own, or you can encourage him. Listen, there's a lot of things men can do for this. we talk about it all the time, but like you'd have to be the one guiding him through it. Like he needs to do his Kegel exercises. He needs to meditate. He needs to, you know, breathe deeply and realize that like unlearn all this other stuff that he's the patterning that he's learned maybe from childhood because he was told it wasn't okay to masturbate. And then he had to do it really quickly in the bathroom. And then he was a premature ejaculator, but now he made himself an erect. Now he has erectile dysfunction. Like it's a whole thing. And so it's not you. And it's not that he's a bad guy. He's terribly embarrassed. Doesn't know what to do about it. Yeah. Has nowhere to go, no one to talk to, and that's where you're at. So you can listen to the show together. You can tell him you'd like to help him, but he's, you know, so have you been listening for a while? We've got lots of podcasts and shows. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But that's what you're in for, Maddie.
Yeah.
If you want to do the work, but he has to want to do the work. And the first thing you got to do is you got to talk about it. And if he's just getting mad at you, this is the part I don't like. Because he doesn't know how to deal with his anger and embarrassment. So, Maddie, that's what you got there. Okay.
Okay.
Let me know what you want to do. Yeah. I'll be here. Have him call in. He can talk to me. I got you, girl. Thanks for calling, Maddie. Seriously. I mean, when he gets there, what else is he going to do? Thanks, Maddie. Thanks for calling. Like, literally, what else is he? Because, okay, I was in that situation. And I believe that one of the things that led me to start this show was that I've talked about, like, I felt like sex could be so much better and that all of my sexual experiences were good, but not amazing. And I was like, what does amazing sex mean? But I did have a boyfriend for 2 years that was a premature ejaculator. And this is before, like, this is my early 20s. Mm-hmm. So, but I was like, oh, I remember we've got this book together. And he was supposed to read it and do the exercises, and he didn't. And I was like, and I didn't know how to help him. And then he was like, oh, maybe it's the marijuana. Maybe it's the, he just all these things. But all I know is that for two and a half years, it never got better.
Did he please you, though?
Yes.
Well, let's see.
He did please me.
That's a good thing.
So that was fine. But it was like, it was never got better than a minute. All right, let's talk to PJ. He's 29 in New York. Hi, PJ. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Emily. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How can I help you, PJ?
Awesome. Hey, so first time caller, so
welcome.
pretty nervous here, but that's also okay. Excited. just one quick brief thing. I met a girl a couple of weeks ago off of one of the dating apps and been talking to her. Been pretty cool, but conversations always go a little deeper each time, so I'm pretty excited about that. But we've actually met up a couple of times, it's been pretty good, like little small dates, but the whole sexual conversation came up, and like,
great.
How active are we, things of that nature. And I got the vibes from her that she's not really looking for a relationship. She's looking for something a little bit more fluid.
Okay.
And was considering friends with benefits. I've never done one of those. So I don't know how to approach her about this. I don't know how to like move forward with it.
Great question, PJ.
How should I approach this?
Well, this is a great question. So PJ, I want to ask you a few questions. So first off, are you certain that she wants a friends with benefits? Like did she say those words, or you're just sensing that it sounds like she wants something fluid? Because let's try to figure out first, what did she say exactly?
Well, I'm sensing it, number one. She didn't come up with those words, but she made it clear that when she wants to get her satisfaction, she has certain people for it.
Oh.
But that these were her words, but she wants to like do something with me in that sense.
Oh, so she
like,
said
okay,
to you, PJ, I'm into you. So she said to you, I've got a few people I hook up with, but you could be a contender. She kind of said that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so I think that what you should say to her is, you know, I keep thinking about what, you know, I thought about what you said and I'm down. Like, I'm attracted to you. I think we should, you know, we try to make this work. And I think how that works is, and here's the other thing. There's not like a rule, like here's how friends with benefits go and here's how open relationships go. But what they all have in common, though, no matter what it is you communicate a lot and you talk about boundaries. Like you can ask her, I would ask more questions, PJ, and say, I'm definitely attracted to you, but tell me more about what do you envision? Because I think like she might say, well, with my friends with benefits or with these guys I see each one once a month. Or once a week. Because for some people, like, you have to be careful because it becomes a relationship. If you're seeing them 3 times in a week, then you're like, okay, that's my boyfriend now. So you can find out a little bit more from her, how it works, what she's into. Like, safe sex is important. Obviously, you're going to use condoms, PJ. And so I feel like how you approach it is just letting her know that you're interested. You're interested. It sounds like she wants something fluid, but, you know, you'd be into that as well. And then I think ask more. I'm curious about that. I've never been in that situation, but I find you attractive. So
Got it. Yeah, I've always been, like I said, I've never done a friends with benefits situation. It's always been like I'm either with a girl or it's just like a one night stand type thing. It's the extremes, you know. It's never been something where it's like a little bit centered like that, where it's a little bit more free.
Right.
So I've always worried about, like, you know, boundaries. I've always worried about things of that, like definitions almost.
But that's still important. So also, just make sure, just because you find her attractive, that A, this is really what you want. Because it's not for everybody. Because what if you start to develop feelings for her? But what happens is you'll just talk about it. You have to just, you know, what you'd like to see in boundaries. And I guess this will be great for you to try it out as well. Because maybe you'll start liking her and she'll make it only once a month. And then you might feel like, well, that's, I see her once a month, but now I'm thinking about her and I actually really like her, but she doesn't want that now, so I'm going to have to bail. Like, find out, like, you probably still be dating other people, you know. Does she want to know about that? Do you want to know about who she's dating? So I think this could be a really interesting conversation, because really it's just about asking questions and being curious and then seeing how it goes down. So
got it. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Me too, PJ. Will you call me back and let me know how it goes, and then we can work out the next steps?
You got it, Dr. Okay. Emily. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, PJ. Yeah, well, here, we got you. Thank you all for your support of the show heading into this 15th year. I love when you review us, wherever you listen to it, whatever app you're listening on. It helps to give us 5 stars. We also do 3 shows a week, so that helps as well. And if you're listening on iTunes, it really helps to also leave a comment. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.